Hebrews chapter 13, as we stand to our feet in honor of the Lord's word, Hebrews chapter number 13, I'm going to read a couple of verses of scripture. As we read this, I want you to remember that the writer of this book is writing to these Hebrew believers. And if you'll read this whole book and study it, you're going to find out that he gives some answers. And there was always the battle with the law and with grace. And we find a lot of answers in this book that will help us to understand these things. Chapter 11, he writes and he gives us that great hall of faith. And of course, there's no doubt that to the Jewish believers, these were their heroes, and these were people that they looked to and read of and heard about and had heard story after story from generations before them. Chapter number 12, he begins by saying, instead of looking to those, it's more important to look unto Jesus. And then he closes out this book with a word of exhortation. He talks to them, and this is what he says in verse number 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And he's writing and he's saying this right here. He's saying that we have the Lord that gives us what we need to do the Lord's will. And that's what I want to preach on tonight, is doing His will. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that Thy will would be done. We need You to help us. We need You to strengthen us. We need to hear from heaven tonight. And I pray that as I preach, Lord, that people wouldn't see me or truly hear from me, but they would hear from You. I pray for the power of the Spirit of Christ to rest upon me. I pray that our hearts would be stirred to serve You in a greater way. Lord, I pray that You would give us what we need in this place tonight. And as we go away, that we'll have a greater desire to serve You than ever before, to live for You and to do Your will with our lives. Help us to be faithful. Lord, we want to thank You for Your faithfulness always to us. We'll praise Your name for what's accomplished. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ I do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. The Bible says that the God of peace is the one that makes us perfect or complete or mature. That's what that means. In every good work to do His will. I want you to know the most important thing you can do with your life is the will of the Lord. The most important thing. Whatever God's will is, that ought to be your desire. It ought to be my desire. It's one thing to know His will, but it's another thing to do His will. There's a lot of people that's known His will through the years that have absolutely refused to do it. I've talked to men that said, God called me to preach, but I just didn't feel like I was cut out for it. I'll tell you something, if that's what God wants you to do, He'll cut you out for it. He'll give you what you need. There's a lot of people that knows what is absolutely the will of God. And by the way, when it comes to knowing the will of God, there are certain things that we do know. We know that God's not willing that any should perish. It's God's will for you to be saved. It's God's will for you to follow Him in believer's baptism. It's God's will for you to be involved in a local church, be a part of it, and be faithful to it. It's God's will for you to speak to others about their need of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what about those things that's beyond all that? And by the way, you'll never do anything beyond that until you're doing these things. You'll never be what God wants you to be. You'll never have the power that God wants to give to you if you're not saved, of course. And if you've not obeyed Him in believer's baptism and you're not doing your part in the local church and being a part of that the way that you can and doing the things that God wants you to do as far as witnessing to others, that's something that we're all supposed to be doing. That's the simple things that we know are God's will for our life. But what about beyond that? What about teaching or singing or stepping out and being a missionary or just giving your life to a certain ministry? What about that? Sometimes people know what His will is there and they still don't do it. We argue a lot of times that we just can't do His will. And we can convince ourselves and we can convince others. But I want you to know, you'll never convince God that you can't do His will. You'll not convince Him. And by the way, He's the only one that matters. He's the only one that counts. He knows we can do His will because He has given us what we need to carry out His will. I'm going to give you three thoughts very quickly, very simply, very easy tonight. Three things about what He's given to us to do His will. First of all, He's given us the authority to do His will. He's given us the authority. I want you to turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 13, if you will. Mark chapter number 13, as we read together these last few verses of this chapter, beginning with verse number 34. It's talking about how the Lord Jesus has come and He's gone away, and what He's left for those that are left behind to do. Notice what the Bible says. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. We find here that the Lord Jesus is speaking, and He's helping those that are listening to understand that the Son of Man is as a man that's going to go away, and He's going to return back again. He's going to come back to this place. And when He comes back, He expects you to be doing what He left for you to do. He expects you to accomplish with your life the things that He has given you a list to do. And He says, I'm going to give you the authority to do these things. This is talking about the Lord Jesus when He came into this world, and now He's gone back up into heaven. And now He's left us, those of us that are believers in Christ, those of us that have followed Him in salvation, have put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, He has left us a responsibility, and He's given us the authority that we need to do it. For one to have authority, we have to realize that they have to possess a knowledge of what's at hand, and the Lord's given us that. He's given us His Word, has He not? He's given us everything we need. If one has no knowledge, then certainly they can have no authority. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, by the way, as your Savior, then you have the knowledge you need, and you have the authority you need to do God's will. Sometimes Christians feel like they don't have what it takes to do God's will. Well, if that's the case, it's our fault. It's not the Lord's fault. We can try to make every excuse in the world, but the finger's always going to point back to us. Because God has given us what we need to do His will. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved, a workman approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. See, how can I know God's will? How can I do His will? Well, He's given us the authority to do it. And we find that in this authority that one day He's going to return. Can I ask you a question? If the Lord Jesus were to return today, right now, this very instant, would He find you doing with your life what He's left you here to do? Would He find me doing with my life what He's left for me to do? And I can convince you of all kinds of things that I can't do it or I'm not able. And you can convince me of all kinds of things. But if He were to return, every secret's going to be open. Everything's going to be revealed. There'll be no excuses when we stand before the Lord, because He's given us the authority. We need to be doing His will. The Hebrews, as He was writing to those in Hebrews, there's no doubt there were people making an argument, and there were people that were trying to hold on to Judaism and trying to hold on to that religion of their fathers and trying to hold on to the things of the law. But He says, I want you to know that God Almighty sent His Son into this world, and He died on the cross, and He raised Him up again from the dead. And that same God is the God that has given you everything you need to do His will with your life. No excuses. Nothing we can do can get us out of this. God has a plan, and He has a purpose for our life, and He wants us to know His purpose, and He wants us to be a part of His purpose. God has us here in the year 2008 to accomplish His will, His purpose for this world right now. My responsibility is true, and your responsibility is true. I love when I'm reading through the book of Acts, We read that place in Acts chapter number 17 where they've left one city, Thessalonica, and they come to Berea. And it says in Acts 17, verse number 11, these Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the Scriptures daily whether these things were so. The Bereans had a heart to serve God, and they searched the word of God so that they could do what God wanted them to do with their lives. They found authority here. God has given us the authority to carry out His will. God has given us everything we need. The Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey. He left His house and He gave authority to His servants. And tonight, if you're saved, you're a servant of the Lord. And He has given you and He has given me the authority to do His will with our lives. You may say, well, preacher, I just reached the point where I can't do it. You may not be able to do what you did when you was 20 or 30 or 40, but God still has something for you to do now. And until He takes you out of here, God has a plan and a purpose for your life, and you ought to just get in on it and have a great time doing it. There's nothing better than being right in the center of God's will. There's nothing better in all the world than being faithful to the thing that God would have you to be faithful to. Faithful to. Be faithful to your local church. Be faithful to winning souls. But be faithful to the calling that God has for your life. And God has called every one of us to serve Him, and He's given us the authority we need to serve Him. Don't miss out on the blessings of God. Don't miss what God has for you. God wants to use you. It's a great thing. Every time I say that, my mind just is in awe and my heart is just in awe that God wants to use me and God wants to carry out His plan through me. I know me. I know my inabilities. But God says it's not about your ability. It's about His ability. And boy, He's given us the authority that we need. Number two, He's given us accuracy. You say, what in the world are you saying there? Well, He's given us several things that are accurate. You know, it's hard to do something when you don't have some accuracy to do it with. When you don't have something that's accurate, that's right. You know, if you have a compass, if you will, and that compass isn't showing true north, you're in trouble. If it's not accurate, if you know how to read a compass. Now, to be honest with you, I would probably be in great trouble some of the time. I've went through that. I have a little bit of an understanding, but I think I could find my way north, but the thing is wherever I was at, I wouldn't know what's north or what's south or, you know, which way do I need to go? You understand what I'm saying? But if you had an understanding, if you were in a place and you had a compass that wasn't accurate, you know you're in trouble. If that's what you were going to depend on to get out, well, God's given us some accurate things. Number one, He's given us the accuracy of salvation. I'm glad for that. Let's notice what the Bible says about this. If you will, I want you to turn with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. And let's see what the Bible says. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse number 13. He's just talked about the return of the Lord, but now he's gone back to helping us to realize what we have to do to live now. He's talked about the time when the Lord will return and all these different things and the day of the Lord, and we understand that. But let's look at what the Bible says after this. After it says all these things, then he says, but we are bound, verse number 13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts, establish you in every good word and work. You know what it's saying here? It's talking about how Paul was writing, and he says, we are bound to give thanks to God for you because God hath chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth. God did His part before the world began. Jesus died on the cross before the world began. You say, how is that? Because He agreed to go. Before the world was ever created, the Lord Jesus said He would go to the cross of Calvary. So the Lord Jesus did His part, but then it comes to that belief of the truth. That's our part. There's a lot of people that hears the story of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they refuse to hear the truth. But when you heard it and you believed it, then, dear friends, you are pinpointed for salvation. That's the way that it works. God does His part. God the Father, the Lord Jesus does His part. The Holy Spirit does His part, but you've got to do your part. What is that? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now shall be saved. Don't get it confused. God hasn't foreordained anyone to hell. God chose to take upon Himself the form of a servant, down on the cross. And He said, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible says here that God hath called us from the beginning and chosen us. That means that He has pinpointed us. He has chosen us. This is something that God has a plan for life. He's given us the accuracy of salvation. This is something accurate. When you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be sure that it's accurate. If you put your faith in church membership, there's no accuracy. If you put your faith in good works, there's no accuracy. If you put your faith in water baptism, there is no accuracy. If you put your faith in the keeping of the law, there is absolutely no accuracy. But if you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then there is accuracy. In other words, there's something that is sure, that is true, that is always going to be right. It comes by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and putting your faith in Him. The book of Ephesians, a chapter that I love to preach from and read from so often. The Bible says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. In other words, when we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're without blame before Him because our sins are covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in whom, verse number 13 of chapter 1 of Ephesians says, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that you believed you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. That explains it all. You have to hear it and you have to believe it. Once you believe it, you're one of those that have been chosen in Him from the foundation of the world. You say, can you explain all that to me? I wish I could to help you to understand it better. But the sovereignty of God is something that none of us can fully comprehend. God is an all-knowing God. And by the way, I do believe that before I was ever created, God knew that I would be saved. And God knows those that are not going to be saved. I'm sorry. That's what the Bible teaches us. But God doesn't foreordain any of us, or predestine any of us to heaven or hell. Every one of us have the choice. And here's the thing, is when you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're saved. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Everything's taken care of. I've said it so many times, salvation is a covenant between God the Father and God the Son. And the Holy Spirit does His work by bringing us to them. And when we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit places us into that covenant and then He seals it. And guess what? The only one that can open that seal is the rightful owner. Guess who that is? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. We're sealed until the day of redemption. We're safe in the arms of God the Father and God the Son. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? We have the accuracy of salvation. In other words, you can know that you're saved. You'll never do God's will if you do not know that you're saved. You may be saved, but if you have not got to that point where you're settled in your salvation, you'll never be effective for the Lord. We need the accuracy of salvation. We need to understand that once we're saved, once we have by faith trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, that we're safe in Him. And then we can step out and do God's will. Because as a Christian, as a believer, as someone that put their faith in Christ, we have this promise. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. In other words, whatever His will is, as we step out by faith and we do it, you know what? He's going to be right there with us. And He'll never leave us and never forsake us. It does not matter how hard the winds of hell may blow against us. He'll take us through the storms. It doesn't matter how dark the valley may be. He'll go with us through the valley. And we just need to get in there and do God's will with their lives. I'm saved, and heaven's going to be my home. And the only thing I can take with me is those that I bring to the Lord Jesus Christ by being faithful to God's will. Oh, may the Lord help us to see what we have in this accuracy of salvation. There's nothing profound about it. It's just simple Bible. We can do His will with our lives when we know that we're saved. We've got it settled once and for all. Heaven's going to be our home. What a difference that makes in our life. Not only do we have this accuracy of salvation, we have the accuracy of the Scriptures. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, so it guides us, right? The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. When you go and you study that verse of Scripture, and boy, we just say that all the time. We believe it with all of our heart. We believe in the inspired, the infallible, the inerrant Word of God. There's no doubt about it. I have no problem saying that tonight. But when you study where this is, you're going to find out that Paul's writing to Timothy about the last days. This chapter starts, this know also, in the last days perilous times shall come. You've heard that so many times around here, and we've been trying to look at the days that we're living in. Men shall be lovers of themselves, proud, boasters, blasphemers. You know the Scripture. And he's telling them about the last days and the temptation to stray away from the things of God. And he's exhorting this son in the ministry, if you will. He's exhorting him about the accuracy of the Scripture. And he's saying, as it seems like the devil is winning, as it seems like the perilous times are upon you, I want you to know there is something that is accurate, there is something that is true, there is something that is sure, there is something that you can stand on, there is something that you can put your faith in, there is something that you can march forward with, there is something that you can fight off hell with, and that is the blessed Word of God. Because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture, Genesis to Revelation. Thank God we have the accuracy of the Scriptures tonight. We have no excuse for not doing God's will because we have the Word of God that'll guide us right, that'll protect us, that'll strengthen us, that'll encourage us, that'll help us through the trials of life. The accuracy of the Scriptures. Don't ever forget what you have. Don't ever forget what we have when we open up the blessed Word of God. Every day, in the morning, when we start out reading God's Word, it's not just another book, it's not just a novel, it is something that God has given to us to strengthen us for the day, to help bless us, and to show us that He's there for us, to talk with us, and to guide us, and to strengthen us. We have the accuracy of salvation, we have the accuracy of the Scriptures, and we have the accuracy, by the way, of our own soul. Oh, yes. The Bible says in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, verse number 37, and you know this passage of Scripture so very well. When Jesus was speaking, He said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. We understand that we have the accuracy of our heart, in our soul, and our mind, if we love the Lord the way we ought to love Him. We can do His will. He was writing to the Hebrews and said, He's given you everything to make you perfect or mature, complete, to do His will. Imagine when we stand before the Lord, we'll answer to what we've done with His will with our lives. As a matter of fact, I don't imagine, I know. I'll not answer for my sins because the Lord Jesus judged them 2,000 years ago at the cross of Calvary. He nailed my sins to His cross. But I will answer to what I've done with the will of God for my life, and so will you. No excuses. Nothing can keep us away from doing God's will except for me. You say, what about the circumstances? We have someone that's bigger than any circumstance. May the Lord help us. And finally, I want you to see that not only has He given us the authority and the accuracy, He's given us the ability. Oh, yes. He's given us the ability This is where we get out of our ability and get into His ability. I want you to notice what the Bible says in the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 4, verse number 11. Peter's writing, and boy, what a difficult time it was for believers. There was persecution on every hand. There were difficult things going on. People would speak evil of these that were serving the Lord. The Bible says in verse number 10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Verse number 11 of 1 Peter chapter 4 says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, listen to this, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. God's given us the ability. Dear friends, it's His ability that is given to us. You say, why is that? So Christ will be exalted. When we do what we do for our glory and in our ability, many times we're doing it to bring glory to self. But the Bible says here that we're to do it in the ability which God giveth, that God in all things might be glorified through Jesus Christ. I want you to think about how wonderful this thought is. That as we do God's will with our lives, that through our obedience to doing God's will, that God will be glorified through the person of Jesus Christ as Christ reigns in our lives. Think about that. As we're obedient to the commands of Christ, God is glorified through Christ which liveth in us. He's given us the ability. Why has He given us the ability? To bring glory to Him. You say, well, isn't that being holy? No, that's God. He deserves it all. Everything that's glorious and right is because of who He is. And all glory belongs to Him. The Bible says, as we think about how God's given us the ability, but the Bible says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Think about that. We have the power of sons of God. That's the ability. That's what that word power, He has given us the power. He has given us the ability. Sons of God. Philippians chapter number 4. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. No excuses. Remember, I started out saying we all make excuses. We all say, well, I just can't do His will. It's not that we can, it's we won't. If we're not doing the Lord's will with our life, it's not God's fault, it's our fault. And we can do it because God's given us these things. When an angel spoke to Mary and said, you're going to conceive and bear a son, she said, how can these things be, seeing I know not a man? The answer says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. The Bible says in Matthew 19, verse 26, we talk about the rich man, when the Lord Jesus said it's hard for a rich man to go into heaven, as hard as it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And they asked Him the question. They said, well, who then can be saved? The Lord Jesus said, with men this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. We find our text verse back where we started tonight, Hebrews chapter number 13. Verse number 21. Now the God of peace, the God, we're talking about Jehovah God, Almighty God. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, listen to this, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. What if the Lord were to return tonight? I believe there'd be a lot of shame in my life. What I've done with the Lord is not near what I should have been doing with the Lord. He brought again from the dead the Lord Jesus. And through that blood of the everlasting covenant, He's made me perfect. He's made me complete in every good work to do His will. He's given me everything I need to do His will. Through His will, He works in me that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ. Where is Christ? Christ in me. I'm in Christ and Christ is in me. Oh, to do His will. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Are we doing His will with our lives? Are we being faithful to the things that He'd have us to be faithful to? Are we too concerned about what others may think or what others may say? The most important thing we can do is not our desire, it's God's will. Our will needs to get to the point to where it becomes whatever God's will is. Brother Tom Sexton always says, it's not my God's will for my life, it's my life for God's will. You say, well, you know, just terminology? Well, in a sense it may be, but I think it makes more sense when we say it's my life. I'm just going to give my life to doing God's will. Instead of trying to search and search and search for God's will, I'm just going to give my life to doing whatever God leads me to do. And by the way, He may never call the boys to preach. He may never call you to be a missionary. He may never call you to go to some foreign field. But it's just as important that you do God's will wherever you are as it is for a preacher to surrender to preach, as a missionary to go to the field. You're just as important in your place of God's will as a pastor is behind the pulpit in the place of God's will. You say, well, it's a higher calling. Well, the ground's level at the foot of the cross, and this is the way I look at it. God didn't call all of you to be a preacher or a pastor, but it's up to you to do God's will with your life, just like it's up to me to do God's will with my life, and it's all just as important to God. But it's a sad thing when people forsake God's will for their own good pleasure. Let's not let that happen here. Let's make a difference by giving our life to doing God's will. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your love, for this time You've given to us to open up Thy precious Word. I pray tonight that we've been helped from it and encouraged through it. Lord, I pray that we'll find ourselves